Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, October 25th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Kate Brand. Kate and her husband Abe have three children, Caroline, Charlotte, and Elizabeth. I can't wait for her to tell you a little bit more about them and about her life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, Kate will read God's Word for us. Thank you, Kate, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Today we're going to be reading from John 17, verses 13 through 26. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
Thank you so much, Kate, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. I want to hear a little bit more about you. Tell me about your family, where you grew up, and a little bit more context about who you are.
Thank you for having me. So I am originally from Georgia. I'm a Georgia girl. I was born and raised in Atlanta. And then we moved to Savannah right when I was starting high school. So I actually went to Savannah at a little small private school, Savannah Christian, down there. Let's see. I'm married to Abe, my husband of 22 years. Feels weird to say that. That must mean that we're old.
You're not old.
And I've got three daughters. Caroline is our oldest at 16. And then we have identical twin girls, Charlotte and Elizabeth, who are 12. And they keep us running everywhere and having lots of fun doing it.
How did you and Abe meet?
We actually met at the University of Alabama. We had math together, and I saw him in this. It was a small math class. They called the roll, so I figured out his name from the roll. I sound like a total stalker, but and I knew his name, so I was on the other side of campus before that class, so I would run to get to that class so I could try to sit next to him, and finally, later in the semester, there was an event where I got to meet him. So I walked up and introduced myself, and you would have thought that was the first time he had ever seen me. But thankfully, he then asked me out, and the rest was kind of history. But yeah, so we met in math class.
What were some of the things that you guys have in common?
Gosh, everything, I feel like. We like the same hobbies. We both like to travel. We both like hiking and being kind of out in nature. I jokingly say you've got two kinds of vacationers, the cultural vacationer that wants to go in the old churches and the old homes and see things, and then you've got the doers, and we're the doers. We want to be hiking or snorkeling or doing something.
Well, that brings up a good question for me. What was one of the favorite vacations that you guys have taken as a family?
As a family?
Or as a couple?
Oh, gosh. we love every single one of them. we're grateful for every trip. They're all very different. Mostly what we love is being together. And we tend to pick places that are more off the beaten path. We don't like cities. Nobody in our family likes museums. We don't want to go in an old house. So we love skiing together. We like doing that activity. This past summer we went to Italy, and that was like a bucket list type trip, but we had a wonderful time. None of us cared that much for Rome, but we all loved just swimming in the ocean down on the coast. And that was, I mean, we went all the way to Italy to swim in the ocean.
Sounds wonderful. Okay, you mentioned that you like to hike, you like to plan trips. What are some other hobbies that you have?
Cooking is a big one for me. I love cooking. All kinds of cooking. I try to cook healthier, so I don't do as much baking unless it's the holidays. That's probably my girl's favorite is the baking, but we can't eat cookies all the time. So,
what is one of the go-to dinners for your family?
Probably a crowd pleaser that we all like, and depending on how much rice you're taking in, it's not that healthy, but rice and beans. Abe and I both have a special love for Costa Rican culture and Puerto Rican culture, and we just love a good rice and beans with some plantains.
Now, how did you gain a love for these cultures?
Just traveling there. Yeah, okay. Just traveling there. We've loved those places. So we do eat, rice and beans like once a week. It's cheap, so that's always nice.
Yes, that is. Okay, I want to transition to your career. Tell me what you got your degree in and then your progression of work and what you're doing now.
So I actually, my first degree from Alabama was in communications with a business minor. And then later I decided I wanted to go back to school. So I went back and got a nursing degree at UAB and then went on and got my master's to be a nurse practitioner. So I have been for almost 10 years working as a nurse practitioner in sleep medicine, and I left private practice a little over a year ago because I just wanted to try something different. It felt like a good time to be at home a little bit more with the girls. I have, over the years, had so many patients that have struggled with chronic disease, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and their doctors either don't have the time to give them the right information, or they just don't know the newest information based off of research on things they could do to improve their health at home. And there's a lot of things out there that we all know, you know, but they're not exactly accurate anymore, or they're not quite the right things. So the lifestyle medicine kind of became more of my passion over time because it just felt like regular medicine was just fixing everything with a prescription, which sometimes is needed.
So when you say lifestyle medicine, break that down for us.
So just things people can do in their lifestyle to try to be healthier. The statistics vary and there's no exact way of knowing, but in theory, up to 98% of chronic disease is completely avoidable. And so these lifestyle things are a healthy diet, proper sleep, making sure you're getting good quality sleep. Of course, exercise, strength training to maintain muscle, just all kinds of things like that. And of course, reducing stress and staying away from things that are toxic.
And so you have a website.
So I started this little company. I've got a website. It's called The Health and Wellness NP for Nurse Practitioner, but I'm actually in the middle of rebranding, changing the whole thing. So it will be called Transform 52, just the number 5 and 2. And that is coming from a book that I have written that I am done writing, but I'm now editing. And if this thing ever comes to a close, it'll be nothing short of miraculous. But the book is the Transform 52 Plan. And it's basically everything I've ever wanted to say to all my patients, but there was not enough time and they wanted more information. So it's all of these things someone can do to become healthier in 52 weeks, which is a year.
I love that.
It's 26 steps. So it's one step every 2 weeks. And it's just doing one little thing at a time to get healthier.
And so if we wanted to read the book, is there a way to read it, or we have to wait until...
You got
to
wait. Yeah, there. hopefully in the next 6 months.
Okay, well, give us one step. What is one of the 26 things we can do?
the first and easiest thing I've always told my patients, and not everybody wants to hear this, but stop drinking liquid sugar. Stop drinking soft drinks and sodas and juices. Just drink water. We were intended to drink water. And I've had some of my patients in the past be, just water? Like, really confused over that. Or some people don't like the taste of water. And I say, well, squeeze a lime or a lemon or muddle up some strawberries and throw them in there, but water.
Just water. I can't wait to read the book.
Thank you.
I want to hear as well about your faith. How did you come to faith, and who were some people along the way who discipled you?
I would say I was raised Episcopalian, and we went to church regularly in Atlanta, but without like getting into too much of the details, my parents had a really difficult time with my sister when she was a teenager, and that kind of changed the course of their faith, and they grew a lot deeper in their faith as a result. So after she graduated high school, we moved to Savannah. We had family down there. My dad has his own business, so we could move anywhere. And so we moved down there, and just the approach my parents took at that point, I mean, they put me in a Christian school, and I just had different types of people around me at that point, and it was very normal in the society I was in to go to youth group every week and to go to church every week, and all of the youth group would sit together in church, and then we'd go to Young Life every Monday night, and Young Life's got a Wendy Gap retreat, we're on it. I mean, it's just kind of what everybody did, and so that was in my life, and I think I would have told you at that time that I was a Christian, just because there was never a time when I outright didn't believe in God or didn't think that was for me. But I don't know that I really internalized it at that point. And then when I was 17, I had to have surgery to close up a hole in my left eardrum. I had a lot of tubes as a child. Sometimes I can leave a hole in the eardrum. It's a simple surgery. They put you to sleep and patch up the hole. And I was already asleep, and I went into severe anaphylaxis. And so my heart stopped, my lungs collapsed, everything was headed south and not looking good. And thankfully I survived. they brought me back too. And they did not do the surgery that day. They never had made the incision, but they had already put the prep solution in my ear. And so that actually caused a hearing loss. I've since had the hole fixed, but I'm 90 something percent deaf in my left ear. But recovering from that it wasn't so much the loss of hearing. It was just there was a lot of pain associated with it. And it just had me alone a lot in my room, just thinking, recovering. I mean, it'd be like being sick for a month. And my mother had a lot of friends who would bring by like little books. I'm trying to remember the name of Ann Steiner Rice. Does that sound familiar? She had all these Christian poems and all these books and just reading more about it. And I think that's when it's like I made a decision for myself to have Christ in my life as a result of all of those things. And it was more, but we were still Episcopalian, so there was no like special baptism or anything. I'd already been christened as a baby, but definitely that's when my life changed.
And you mentioned the youth group. I know that now here at Mount Rick Baptist, you're a part of a growth group.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that aspect of your life.
So my growth group meets on Mondays at 12:30, and I absolutely love it because I think the most surprising thing about it that I love is just the wide range of ages. I mean, we've got, I don't know everyone's exact age, but I'm pretty close when I say the youngest person is in their 20s and the oldest person is
80 something.
Yeah. I mean, maybe even 90.
Maybe so.
Definitely upper 80s. And I have so enjoyed that. I'm more drawn, I don't know what this says about me, I'm more drawn to the 80-somethings. Just they have so much wisdom and experience. But yeah, it's just really special to be with a smaller group of people and really get to know them and to hear what's going on in their lives. Because with those different ages, there's just so many different things. Like maybe one person is, you know, coming up on the anniversary of the loss of their spouse that they were with for so long. And then another person is, you know, worried about that newborn getting their first cold. It's just a wonderful like honor and blessing to be around all these different stages of life.
Okay, well, I kind of skipped over between 17 and now in your growth group. Tell me a little bit about how you got to Mount Brook Baptist.
So when Abe and I got married, we lived in Mississippi, Meridian, Mississippi, and Abe was raised Baptist, and we really just wanted a scripture-based church, but all of the young people in Meridian at the time were going to the Baptist church, First Baptist, and so that's where we went, and in order to join, I had to get baptized. And I remember I had a little bit of an issue with it at first because it made me feel like, was my christening not good enough? You know, I kind of had just a prideful attitude about it that was really very ridiculous. And the irony is that now I would get baptized 20 times over and anywhere and anytime, like, let's do it. And so I got baptized at First Baptist in Meridian, but the girls have been baptized here. And of course, Abe was a kid when he did it. So,
yeah. And I know you guys came to Mountain Brook Baptist, visited before the pandemic started, but really got involved after people started coming back to church.
Yes.
Tell me about your Sunday school class.
Our Sunday school class, they join together with, I think it's, I'm terrible with the names. We're in Cornerstone, I believe. And I think we joined together with Fellowship in the summer. And I really love that because you kind of get to know even more people. But most of the year we're in Cornerstone and we like it a lot. I think we're probably on the younger side of that class. Hopefully I'm not insulting anybody. There's definitely younger than us in there. But I think we're on the younger side of that. But it's that is also nice because we get to kind of learn like what that next step that we're about to hit, especially with a 16-year-old. I think there's definitely some couples in there that have some college-aged children.
Do you have a favorite Bible verse that you might share with us?
I do. And as my kids would say, it's very basic. That's the lingo, unoriginal, but just John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So,
and as you're teaching your kids to pray, I know we read Jesus's prayer today. What's your concept or thought about teaching them?
Yeah. So basically, when we pray together, I try to tell them, and this is really kind of how I approach it too, just to talk to God like a friend, just to not be routine. I think it's easy, especially at their age, maybe it feels awkward or different. I think it's easy for them to get routine with it. And even now, sometimes one of them will say something and it's almost like I could have predicted word for word that you would have said that. And not that I'm being judgmental of their prayers, but I just try to remind them, I'm like, just talk to God like a friend and let him know everything that's on your mind. And don't let it be a routine, rote type of, you know, mannerism. Let it be coming from your heart.
Thank you so much, Kate, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having
me. We can't wait to hear more about Transform 52 and also the book and the website. If people wanted to reach out to you, what would be the best way for them to connect?
Well, maybe, I mean, really through phone or email or text or anything.
Okay, so if you want Kate's information, let me know and I'll connect you.
If they wanted information on that, they could go to the website, which is the Health and Wellness NP, or this week it'll probably be changed over to transform52.com.
Well, we're so grateful for you joining us, and I wonder if you would end our time together with prayer.
Absolutely. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time for Mary and I to visit and to talk and to read your word. Help your word be an inspiration to us, to lift us up and give us hope and endurance to strive forward for you in this world, to bring much honor and glory to your kingdom. We thank you for the opportunities that we have here at Mount Brook Baptist and within our community and within our country. We pray that you will be with each person listening to this podcast today and that you will help them to feel your presence and that you will fill them with joy. And we just thank you for all of your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.